Game of Thrones hackers say they're just fans who want to share in the wealth, or they'll release a bunch of Game of Thrones episodes. How a robot can survive on the surface of Venus, and audiobooks for dogs. All that and so much more coming up on Tech News Today.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
This is Tech News Today, episode 1827, recorded Tuesday, August 8th, 2017.
This episode of Tech News Today is brought to you by Eero. Never think about Wi-Fi again with Eero's hyper-fast, super simple Wi-Fi system. And now, the second generation Eero is tri-band and twice as fast. For free overnight shipping, visit Eero.com, select overnight shipping at checkout, and then enter the code TNT.
And by Tracker, a coin-sized tracking device that pairs with your smartphone and keeps you from losing your most valued possessions. Visit thetracker.com right now and enter promo code TNT to save 20% off any order.
And by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Home plays a big role in your life. That's why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. It lets you apply simply and understand the entire mortgage process fully so you can be confident that you're getting the right mortgage for you. Get started at rocketmortgage.com/TNT. Welcome to Tech News Today. This is the show where we talk about everything. If you're only listening, there was some great graphics that just came at us. So yeah, definitely subscribe to the video.
Oh yeah.
Did I say my name?
No, go for it.
Megan Maroney.
Oh, and I'm Jason Hell. It's good to have you back, Megan.
Thank you. Took a few days off.
If only for a day.
Yeah, I know.
You won't be here tomorrow.
Yeah, I saw a little Kendrick Lamar. It involved taking the entire day off of work.
Oh, that was yesterday.
That was Friday.
How was it?
It was great. It was a great show.
Was it Lamarvelous?
People don't say that.
Oh, sorry.
Oh my gosh. I'm going to tell my daughter you said that because she thought I was embarrassing her.
Oh, you're happy you didn't bring me to Kendrick Lamar.
Yes.
All right. So we've got some news. At this point, you've probably already heard about the infamous Google manifesto that hit the internet like a freight train over the weekend. No doubt it's an incredibly controversial study that touches on a number of issues regarding Google's workplace, how it handles diversity and inclusion, the capabilities of women in technology positions like engineering and coding, and a monoculture inside Google that prevents dissenting opinions from seeing the light of day, hence those voices be silenced. The author has actually since been fired from Google. CEO Sundar Pichai said yesterday publicly that the contents of the memo violated Google Code of Conduct, giving those who claim Google isn't open to dissenting opinions more ammo to back up their claims. And then actually just right before this show, the fired engineer, the news broke that the fired engineer has filed a complaint with the National Labor Relations Board saying Google management attempted to shame him into silence. No matter how you slice it, this is an incredibly complicated situation for Google, but it sparked a very big conversation around these topics. And we've certainly had topics like this on the show many times in the past. What do you think about all this?
Well, I think so much of this unfolded on Twitter, where a lot of people had not even read it at all. So it's a lot. It's one of those really frustrating things where it's like, I guess I just have to read this. I can't just see what everyone's saying about it and be able to, you know, then move on a second later. I mean, I do think that's a problem, that we don't spend time really thinking about stuff. We just blame this way and that. But
it's very reactionary.
Yes.
And Twitter, Twitter's very good at that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right.
And so I have to feel like some of that shame probably that he's feeling came from Twitter and all of that too. But I mean, some things in this memo were true. Many things were not true. Many things were just his assumptions. Many things were this age old kind of idea that men and women are biologically different, and that is why men have more jobs coding than women do. That's why men handle stressful situations better than women do. I'm sorry. Have you ever had twins in your belly and then had to give birth to them? Very stressful. But so I think there's so much talk about, oh, we need more diversity. We need more diversity. And let's be honest, like a lot of what this was saying was talking about the white women at Google. So we're not talking about black men or, you know, other or women of color. So I think there's, when we talk about this a lot too, it's like diversity gets just thrown in. Whereas I think, you know, that there was a lot to be said that the problem is that there aren't more people of color.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and I would agree. There's to all of what you said, right? Like there's obvious aspects of what I read that, like, in my mind aren't even up for debate, right? Like blanket judgments about an entire sex, I feel like are categorically wrong. Like that's a wrong judgment to make in that sense. And so from that perspective, okay, his complaints about a liberal bias, monoculture inside the company, there's something to that, right? Like Google, I feel like has prided itself in the past on being inclusive, and I put that in air quotes, but inclusive to a point, or trying to foster an inclusive environment. And, you know, and some would definitely interpret that as being leaning left, let's say, or, you know, this liberal bias. And anyone that's outside of that, and a lot of people are saying his firing is a result of this, you know, ends up being silenced in one way or another. Of course, Pichai says that it wasn't like if he had left the stuff about women specifically out, I feel like it's very possible he might still be working there because there were some very valid elements in there. I think that is probably part of the reason why Google kind of felt like they needed to step in and say, hey, we don't agree with this and you're out.
Yeah. I mean, it's the slippery slope between like when you talk about biological differences and when you're talking about diversity in general, you know, I mean, that lots and lots of people have gotten fired by saying, you know, that the different people like have biological differences, which make one better than another person at any number of things.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but I guess some of the truths in here, he wrote about unconscious bias training, like the training that they had at Google and it wasn't working. And I have read that as well. Like I have heard, I interviewed Laura Weidman Powers, who runs a group called Code 2040. And 2040 is the year that Hispanic and Black people will outnumber white people in the United States. And her idea is to get them more on par. So it's not for white women. It's for Hispanic and Black people, and to get them more on par in coding. And it has all kinds of programs where they really get involved. And there's programs at Google that where people can go, and just a lot of just setting up people to succeed who have had different advantages, fewer advantages. And so she says that unconscious bias training, a lot of these companies, it's not working because it's like, oh, let's all go sit in a room. And yes, you all have unconscious bias. And then that's it. Nobody's telling them what to do about it. And a lot of people are saying like, oh, yes, this is all unconscious bias and I have it. And OK, now I can continue to be biased because it's unconscious.
Yeah, at least we've been honest with ourselves that we have it.
Yeah. So but I definitely agree with that stuff that we're living in a bubble, and probably people in Silicon, like these people that work at Google, are living in a kind of bubble. And I do. He said, you know, it's advantageous to have conversations with people who have different views than you do. And I
absolutely
definitely agree with that. And I wonder how many conversations he really had about this, or is it just the kind of person that's just like, blah, 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 I'm going to write this long scribe and send it out. And, you know, where maybe that's not the right forum for that.
Yeah, I mean, and unless he shares that information, I mean, Google isn't going to share that. You know, they're not going to share as much about his private employment, you know, to protect their employees. That's just something that they have to do. I mean, there's a lot of people that are really upset with the potential precedent that this sets, and that this is very 1984 of Google to control, you know, thought, and oh, you don't agree with us, so you're out, and all of that. And when I really think about it, I'm like, you know, ultimately, like, they're a private company, they are an at-will employer, and I from what I understand, he was not a contract employee. He was an at-will employee, which, I mean, ultimately means Google could have fired him for nothing, for no reason whatsoever, as long as they weren't intruding on a fundamental public policy with their firing of him. And that remains to be seen, because this is going to court. You better believe it. Then they could fire him for nothing. This just happened across that line. And really, anyone who truly disagrees with that, like, don't use Google. You know, like it's what people did when Chick-fil-A, you know, the CEO made comments about same-sex marriage. People boycotted Chick-fil-A. Like you can vote with your dollars to not support that. And that's okay.
But it's a lot easier to not eat Chick-fil-A than it is to not use Google. I mean, it's very hard.
It's not impossible, though.
No, it's not impossible.
There are other search engines. There are other services that do a lot of these similar things. How much does it matter to you?
Right.
That's the point.
Yes.
And if it matters that much to you, then don't use Google.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. What I wonder is, are they going to go through this whole internal message board and make sure that no one else has said anything like this? Because did he get fired because people spoke out about it and because people because it became a news story? Or did he get fired because he broke the code of conduct?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I mean, it did take Google a little bit of time to react to it and respond to it. And by that point, it was at a fever pitch, you know, so it could be either way, you know.
Right. Because a lot of people, this was an internal memo, and a lot of female engineers and male engineers said, you know what, like, I just read this thing and it made me mad. And so Google had to pay attention, right? So it's kind of like, you know, you're throwing around the N-word and you don't get blamed for it until someone says, hey, that offends me.
Right,
you know,
right.
So what are you gonna do, Google? Like, are you gonna like go through all of that? That's more important to me. Like, is it where, if you're gonna fire this one person, are you gonna fire everyone? I mean, I would hope that there aren't a lot of memos where people are running around saying like women and men are biologically different and that's why there are more men that are coding, you know, so I don't know.
Yeah. Yep.
Let's move on. This is nice.
We've
segue.
Got other things to talk about. I
don't know if you remember. It's so funny. I didn't really want to talk about this at all. And apparently I did.
Yeah, yeah, it was a good discussion.
Remember that delicious high-tech meatless burger that bleeds that I tried last fall? It turns out that the FDA hasn't said whether it's safe to eat or not. The Impossible Burger, made with genetically engineered yeast, bleeds like an actual burger made from cows' bodies. But until the Food and Drug Administration say that soy leg hemoglobin isn't an allergen, they will not, they meaning the FDA, will not confirm that it is safe for humans to eat. The New York Times says the FDA won't forbid Impossible Foods from selling the burger, and they did not say it was dangerous. They're just saying they're not going to say that it's completely fine. And I ate one, and I'm doing fine. I guess I am fine.
You're fine now. What's the long-term effect?
I don't know.
You're going to grow a third eye on your forehead in 10 years.
Yeah, I don't actually know that I'm fine, but it was delicious.
Yeah, well, I'm still very curious, although I find it very interesting that in reading about this, so the FDA oversight of food safety includes an exemption to where you can bypass the agency review if the ingredients have already been deemed safe, and many times, from what I understand, I could be misunderstanding it, but from what I understand, the company can say that these have been deemed safe, and the FDA doesn't necessarily have to check against that, though it can. It can look into that if it deems, you know, the requirement to, which is kind of what's going on right now. But companies don't have to tell the FDA of the safety of the food. FDA can investigate it if it sees fit. And in this case, Impossible Foods said it was fully compliant with all FDA regulations. The FDA said that assessment is deficient and now requires further proof. So I think what fascinates me a lot about this is that it's VC capital in Silicon Valley, and there's, you know, and it's a, I'm, from what I understand here, I mean, Bill Gates is in on this too, right? It's including, it's like attacking or going in the direction of food and, you know, something entirely outside of the scope of technology, yet it's a lot of the same people that are involved in the investing, and they're just two entirely different approaches.
Yeah, I mean, part of it, it's like it's engineered food. It was developed in a lab by, you know, MIT graduates. And part of it is like there is this kind of, you know, with a lot of people in Silicon Valley, they really want to look at changing the world and they want to see into the future. And we don't have, I mean, our future is going to be limited if we keep eating as many cows as we are now. It's just, it's a scientific fact.
It does look pretty good, though. But it only looks good because it looks like a real burger. And I know you don't agree, but I like burgers.
I like to eat them too.
Oh.
I just don't.
You just don't eat them. Got it. Yeah. Got it. I understand.
But I don't judge. And I have a pet, and apparently that is also bad for the environment too.
Yeah.
Now, right. It sounded like the kind of book that your mom gave you to help you through puberty. And it looked like Snapchat, and now it is gone. Facebook has shuttered Life Stage, its app for high schoolers, according to Business Insider. The company pulled the iOS app from the App Store on August 4th after only a year of existence. During that year, media outlets criticized the app for its ability to let anyone stalk high school-age students, even though it was supposed to keep out anyone over 21. The company also put an end to its Facebook Groups app, which that's been around since 2014. It's Life Stages. It it was created by 20-year-olds, mm-hmm. and it would let you share mostly videos, but also photos. You could share like your happy face and your sad face, and then you could watch everyone create, you know, share their happy face and their sad face. And it never had the ability to block or report users, which to me meant that like not a lot of people were using it.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like it. I mean, it sounds very like narrowly focused too. Like I understand the narrow focus because it's about protecting, you know, the younger set, but that in and of itself is a limiting factor in it gaining any sort of steam. It didn't really seem like it was very supported. Not to mention if it was a potential counter to Snapchat, like Facebook, at least at this point, already has that. They've got Instagram, and yeah. So this is just kind of unnecessary at this point.
Yeah, it just seems like a weird thing, like to do it all, because why would they do that when they have Instagram?
Yeah, you know, but when I think about Google and kind of how Google approaches a lot of this stuff, they play around with ideas a lot, and they last for a couple of years, and then they kill them. Google is actually really good at killing its products, so maybe this is kind of that, right? Like, start it up. It's almost like a 20% thing, you know, a younger kid, you know, had the idea behind it. They started it to see where it would go, and it didn't go anywhere, but that still doesn't mean that work is lost. It goes into other products, so.
After the break, Disney wants us to pay another fee for another streaming service. The iPhone might not come in rose gold, and hackers are holding some Game of Thrones stars' data for ransom. But first, let's take a minute to thank Eero, the sponsor of this episode. With Eero, you can install an enterprise-grade Wi-Fi system in your home in just a few minutes. All you have to do is download the Eero app on your iOS or your Android device, and it'll walk you through each step of the process. It's quick, it's easy, and it's painless. My 12-year-olds installed our new Eero last week because they want faster Wi-Fi as much as I do, probably more than I do. Now we can also create and share a guest network. We know how many devices are connected at any given point, and we can check the internet speed that we're getting from our service provider. Eero also is protected with state-of-the-art WPA2 encryption. And Eero updates automatically, so you'll have the latest features and security at all times. Eero just introduced the second generation Eero and Eero Beacon. Eero home Wi-Fi system started in early 2016, and since then they've learned from hundreds of thousands of systems, making them smarter, faster, and more reliable. The new Eero second generation and Eero Beacon, that's what I installed. It allows me to build a Wi-Fi system that's more perfectly tailored to my home and all the devices that we connect to it. If you watch this show, you probably already know my house is basically blanketed with Echo Dots and iPhones. And the new Eero offers more speed and range in the same high-quality, elegant design that we have come to expect. With the addition of a third 5 gigahertz radio, the second generation Eero is now tri-band at twice as fast as its predecessor. That lets us do more simultaneously in every room of the house. And because if you have kids with devices, you know they're using them all the time, so that's great. And with the addition of a new Thread radio, Eero can connect to low-power devices such as locks, doorbells, other sensors, and more. All your IoT. Expanding your coverage in any room is easy with Eero Beacon. Simply plug it into your wall and you are covered. You can add as many Eero Beacons as you want. If there's an outlet, there is Wi-Fi. I also love the parental controls in the new Eero. You can choose by device to limit screen time and then encourage more family time, because it's nothing is quite as good as forcing your kids to hang out with you. They love that. So I've got an Eero here. We can take a look at it. This is the first generation. It's pretty. It's something that you might want to keep on your counter. You don't have to hide it away. So I just have put mine right out with all, they're right next to that collection of vases that my husband thinks is crazy, but that I like because they're pretty and useful to me. So yeah, you can have three, you can have two, you can have one. The new Eero plugs in. You got one that looks like this, and then as many more as you need.
Those beacons are awesome.
They are.
You just find an outlet and go.
Yeah. Have you been walking around your house? Like I have, just like any place. I got you. I got you covered. Any corner.
I can put you anywhere I like.
Yeah. Yep. I know. My kids wanted them in the room. So I was like, no, thank you. You don't need it.
It has a nightlight. That'd be handy for them.
It does. It does have a nightlight. We have one in our bedroom. And you can easily turn the nightlight off if you like to sleep in the dark, as I do. For free overnight shipping, visit Eero.com and at checkout, select overnight shipping. Then enter TNT. That's how you make it free. That's Eero, Eero.com. Enter code TNT, and we thank Eero for their support.
All right, more news. Disney reported its quarterly earnings, and while the company beat on earnings, they missed on revenues, blamed at least partially on a 23% year-over-year decline in operating income. That was related, apparently, to ESPN. But Disney also announced that starting in 2019, Netflix is no longer going to carry the studio's movies. Instead, Disney will launch its own streaming service for its films and content exclusively and directly to the consumer. Although they did mention, I saw this in an article, no plans to pull the Marvel shows from Netflix.
So thought that Star was an, Wars.
No, that was an interesting.
No plans to pull Star Wars either.
That's a good question.
That's I read that.
Okay.
I read that. Good. They might. It said they might be able to keep Marvel and Star Wars.
Okay. All right. We don't know, Netflix. We'll let you know. May still decide to license more, you know, some content to Netflix over time. But really, it's like bringing it all in house. I mean, the Disney catalog is so crazy big between the TV network, you know, all the made-for-TV shows, their movies, like all of it. Like, it actually makes a lot of sense. I think Disney is one of those few companies that could possibly pull this off because people go nuts for their Disney. But it's sad for Netflix owners that have, especially Netflix owners that have kids, because that has been really nice.
Well, if your kids are little enough, you can fool them with those like fake Netflix Disney shows. Have you ever seen those?
the pretend ones.
Yeah, I'm just kidding. Don't let your children.
Beauty
watch
and
those.
The Beast comes out, and they put out Beast and the Beauty.
Yeah, and, yeah. You know, it's like the Kirkland brand of Disney.
Yes,
don't do that to your children. If you do, I will find you. But I saw my friend Matt Howie on Twitter tweeted today that he felt like 25% of all Netflix streaming right now was Moana. Like, is that the way it is in your house?
we burn out on Moana. I'm sure.
Really?
Because we bought it when it first came out. So we don't actually watch it on Disney. I say we as if I'm sitting down to watch Moana all the time. There was a time when I would see it because my kids wanted to watch it all the time, but that was never on Netflix. By the time it got on Netflix, they were bored with it.
I've experienced that before too. You buy it and then it's on Netflix and it's just like buyer's remorse.
In my mind, it's like, okay, so it's $20 for the HD version of this movie. We got to get at least 5 views out of it. Let's just make sure we watch it 5 times and then I will feel comfortable. And so many movies they have not watched 5 times, even though we bought it. So you run a risk.
We'll just do the whole like Clockwork Orange thing to them.
Oh, yeah. Parenting by Megan.
I think that I just am the more like streaming services. How many $12, $14.99 services are we going to have to do? Like ESPN too, they're going to have one. I mean, I would never sign up for that. But and Disney had this weird sort of Disney Anywhere. Did you ever sign up for that? Like if you bought a Disney, but you know what I'm talking about. If you bought a Disney movie, you could watch it anywhere. It was super complicated, and so I think that this it will probably be great for them.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of families who would actually choose if it was like $10 a month for all Disney content or whatever. I think a lot of parents would probably opt for that. But you're right. Like we've for the longest time been thinking, okay, cutting the cable, we can save, you know, get to this point where we're a la carte and only getting the things we want. But then when you start adding up, like everything's $10 a month and it's a recurring fee of $10 a month stacked on top of other $10 a month. I mean, so you end up paying way more and it becomes even more complicated. So who knows what's the right way to go?
Mm-hmm. Well, Netflix, I don't know if you reported this while I was away, but Netflix bought a comic book company, Millar World.
Yeah, we talked about that yesterday. Ron was on, and you know he's a big comic guy, so he had that story nailed.
Right, so they're making movies too, right? Yeah. So they might be the next Marvel.
Yeah, maybe to fill the void, sure.
It's a weird name. Why is it called Millar World?
Ron, are you there?
It's a Millar.
Oh, it's Miller. Well, we talked about it yesterday. He
said Miller.
That's his name.
Oh.
That's the guy who made his name. That's all.
Okay, well, it's not called Stan Leavel.
I should remember that.
The leaves are starting to change, and so have the iPhone rumors coming faster and more furiously every day. KGI's Ming-Chi Kuo says this fall we'll see an iPhone 8 and an iPhone 7S in 3 colors. Also, don't count on getting one right away, the iPhone 8, because they'll be in short supply. And for those of you who love the rose gold, the current rumor says the 3 colors will be black, silver, and gold.
Gold.
Other rumors say it will work with fast charging if you buy that extra USB-C to lightning cable, which will be sold separately. So, you know, who knows if any of these rumors, but they are...
some of them.
Yeah, a lot of Ming-Chi Kuo's rumors are... usually accurate. Quo says Apple will produce between 35 million and 38 million 4.7 inch iPhone 7S's, 18 million to 20 million iPhone 7S Pluses, and 45 million to 50 million iPhone 8S's.
That's going to be the hotness for sure. Wireless charging with an accessory also apparently that's sold separately. And then related to this, EvLeaks, another very famous leaker and pretty has a really great track record, posted an image of the supposed iPhone 8. Well, we never do follow-ups on this when we see leaked images beforehand. I'd be very curious to see. But basically, a lot of times this happens when a case company gets too sherry or gets too reckless with their image because they get the design a little bit earlier so they can start manufacturing cases. But this shows off kind of the edge display, the rounded corners. It comes right to the edge. But I think more interestingly, the cutout, how the display kind of wraps around the tech up at the top, the speaker, and all the other sensors and the earpiece, front-facing camera, and the sensors. There we go. Which is similar to Essential, but it's also similar to the Sharp Aquos S2, which is the last link I have in there, Brian. That announced also today, and it has the cutout of the camera up at the top around the display. So this is it's official. We can put it on the calendar. It's a design trend that is now underway.
I think it's ugly.
More and more phones are apparently doing it.
Well, so, they didn't ask me.
Yeah, they should have checked in with you first.
I want to get back to something you said before. It will include wireless charging with an extra accessory.
This report said it will also offer wireless charging via an accessory that's sold separately. So I don't know if that means that the phone has wireless charging or if the accessory gives the phone. Maybe it's like a case that I don't know. That's just what it said.
So like, but you don't know if it's a pad or anything. Okay.
No, don't really know that.
Okay.
I'll get in touch, though, with Ming.
And, okay,
We'll see what Ming has to say.
Yeah, I'm kind of exhausted of all the rumors by this time.
It's totally rumor season right now between the iPhone, the Pixel, all these phones happening. Note 8 is right around the corner. Everything's like rumory and leaky. It's a leaky ship. Mm-hmm. Hackers, speaking of leaks, hackers who stole 1.5 terabytes of data from HBO last week dumped a whole lot of that data, releasing more scripts, emails, and now also the phone numbers of some of the actors on Game of Thrones. The hacker, calling himself Mr. Smith in a video that was addressed to HBO CEO Richard Plepler, says HBO must pay, quote, our 6-month salary in Bitcoin. That works out to somewhere around $12 to $15 million within 3 days. If that payment isn't delivered by Plepler himself as they requested, they say they will put whole TV shows online, like whole runs, as well as corporate data, among other things. Dun, dun, dun.
Did you watch the video on Mashable?
No, I didn't actually.
I enjoyed it immensely. Could we have some volume here, please?
Here we go. Little video. Wow, it's very...
So the highlights I'll give you, quote, we are hackers, so accept our apologies for amateur mixing. So that's what they said. They apologized for when they're going to put it online. They say they're fans, and this is a game. It's not about the money. It's not about the money that they want. I really just want them to have some copy editors. They say this is the new Brave World. It's Brave New World, not New Brave World. Yeah.
Look, you know, that's not their thing. It's hacking. Yeah.
But this is
this
the Game
is
of
music
theme.
From Game of Thrones.
Yeah, it's the Game of Thrones.
I think
theme.
This is the Reigns of Castamere, as it's called. It's like the Red Wedding happened, I think, around this time. Yeah.
Man. No, when they're gonna put all these online, and they might not.
They've got full seasons, documentaries, a Steven Spielberg documentary, a bunch of stuff. So they say they're going to put their logo. HBO is falling on all of them if their needs are not met in the next 72 hours. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
But, yeah, copy editing,
the downfall,
not their thing, maybe.
The downfall in stocks will be predictable. Okay, we don't have to give the hackers any more credit for their bad grammar.
No.
Don't release personal information about the actors. Don't do that. If you're really fans, why would you do that?
I don't know if they're really fans. We don't know that. But they're fans of money.
Well, they leaked the episode before, and then the episode still got amazing ratings.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's true.
So I don't think that, I think they need to find another hobby.
Good luck. Up next, we talk about the technology that's required for the exploration of the surface of Venus. But first, let's take a minute to thank Tracker, the sponsor of this episode. There's a ritual that you all know very well. I know it. First, you check all of the obvious places, you know, your couch, your kitchen, your pockets. Of course, you're checking your pockets. They're not there, all of your pockets. Then the weird places, bathroom, fridge, hamper. Then you start getting really creative. You're looking in the freezer, behind the refrigerator, I don't know. 8 years ago, Tracker changed everything when they released their first tracking device, and now they've done it again with the all-new Tracker Pixel. With Tracker Pixel, you'll never worry about losing your things again. Tracker Pixel is the lightest Bluetooth tracking device on the market. You place Tracker Pixel on whatever you tend to lose. Keys, wallets, your cat, I don't know, whatever you got. It's small enough to fit on your smallest items. When you misplace an item that has a Tracker Pixel attached, you can use your smartphone, and then a 90 decibel alert will help you find it in seconds. It sounds out super loud. You're guaranteed to hear it. It even has powerful LED lights, which you just saw, so you can find your items in the dark. If you happen to lose your phone, kind of in the reverse direction here, you can just press the button on the Tracker Pixel that you have, and your phone's going to ring, even if it was left on silent. And you can even locate your item if it's miles away, because every Tracker user is part of the largest crowd locate network in the world. And Tracker's 30-day money-back guarantee means you truly have nothing to lose. Go to thetracker.com and enter promo code TNT. You'll save 20% off any order. That's thetracker.com. Promo code TNT. You'll get 20% off.
The team at NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory, or JPL, plan to build a Venus exploration rover that will survive the surface of Venus, where temperatures average 464 degrees Celsius, or that's 867 degrees Fahrenheit. That's very hot. Joining us to talk about how to make a rover without conventional sensors, computers, or power systems that will burn up is Evan Ackerman, contributing editor at the IEEE Spectrum. Welcome to the show, Evan.
Hey, Megan.
So first, let's talk a little bit about the longest time a spacecraft has survived on the surface of Venus.
Yeah, the world record, or I guess the Venetian world record for survival on the surface is just 127 minutes. And that was from a Soviet space probe that landed back in the early 80s. And the Soviets had been sending a bunch of these. And I think the next longest survival rate was like 38 minutes. And it's not like anything was going wrong. The design life for these things was maybe 20 minutes each before the heat just totally overpowered the electronics and they died.
So the heat is a challenge. Are there other challenges on Venus?
The heat is the big one. The atmospheric pressure is very, very high. It's, I think, 92 atmospheres, equivalent to being 3,000 feet under the ocean. So that's a lot of pressure, but electronics and spacecraft can handle that. Venus also has a sulfuric acid atmosphere, but that atmosphere, the acid doesn't actually reach the ground. So once you get down there, as long as you can handle the pressure, really it's the heat that's the problem, and it's a really big problem.
So what we're looking at now, if you're watching the video, is the Automaton rover. So it's a machine that might not burn up. Can you talk a little bit about this?
Well, the whole idea behind this machine is that, yes, it will not immediately burn up as soon as it touches down. So NASA has this amazing program called NIAC, which is the Innovative Advanced Concepts Program. And it's basically this big pile of money that NASA gives out to people with crazy ideas. So this particular idea for a Venus rover, it was just some engineers at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory like talking over lunch. And they started talking about, well, you know, in order to explore Venus, you're going to need something with no electronics in it because all the electronics will just kind of melt. So how do you build a rover with no electronics? And they came up with this idea of just kind of going back to, you know, the era of mechanical computers and, you know, pocket watches and clocks, and just building a rover that doesn't have any electronics but can still do all of the stuff that you need a rover to do, like walk around or move around and avoid obstacles, store power, collect power, transmit power, and even transmit data.
How exactly is that last part happening? Like, I can understand kind of the mechanical approach for maneuvering around and all that kind of stuff. But when I think of capturing data from sensors and then transmitting that, and then this hostile environment of being so incredibly hot, like, how do you manage that aspect of getting the data actually from there back to Earth so we can do something with it?
Yeah, I think this is the coolest part of the Venus rover concept. So they thought about a couple ideas. The first was that they would actually store data on phonograph records, like you play music on, or you used to play music on, if anyone knows what those are. But they'd be these metal phonograph records.
Okay, metal, not vinyl, because in my head I was like, wait a minute, that's not going to work.
Vinyl can't handle a summer day, I know that.
No, exactly.
So they'd be metal, and the rover would inscribe these mechanically, and it could fit about a megabit of data on each. And then one idea was, when the record was full, they would attach it to a hydrogen balloon and send it up into the atmosphere, and then a solar-powered drone would somehow snag this record and then play it back and transmit that to a satellite. So that was an actual idea that they had, but they figured out it was too complicated. And so they came up with something even more innovative, which is just to use a radar reflector on the back of the rover along with a shutter. And so the way this would work is that a spacecraft in orbit could bounce radar off of the surface of Venus, and it could bounce radar off of the rover itself. And then by moving the shutter over the radar reflector, the strength of that radar return could be changed, so you can start sending back strong returns and weak returns, and that turns into ones and zeros, and that's how you get data back.
So we're always talking about going to Mars. Elon Musk says we're headed there soon, but why don't we talk about going to Venus? Like, are there more could we go to Venus inside this automaton before we could get to Mars?
I don't think we'd want to go to the surface of Venus. It's pretty inhospitable. Like Mars, you know, the Martian, the movie, was pretty accurate. Like, with a little bit of life support, you can survive there. Venus, not so much. But NASA is actually funding another study through this Innovative Advanced Concept program that they're looking at, you know, maybe we don't have to go to the surface of Venus. Maybe we can just live in the clouds instead. And they're actually thinking about, well, why don't we just send a blimp with a couple people in it that could go around Venus and just hang out above all the heat and all the pressure and just check things out from there.
What ways could this technology that we're talking about here be used here on planet Earth? I realize it has a very, you know, specific focus for traveling to Venus and collecting there, but are there ways that it could be used here as well?
Yeah, that's a great question. That's something that NASA is always thinking about when it's funding these projects. And there's a couple ways that a rover like this could be really useful. Fundamentally, it's designed to be a rover that is pretty much like indestructible by any environment you put it in. So it will quite happily operate in a very high radiation environment. You could send it like into a volcano and it would keep working. And the other really cool thing about it is because the structure of the rover is so resistant to high temperatures, you can completely sterilize the entire thing. So if we ever get into a situation on some alien planet where, you know, there's something weird growing or crawling around and we want to go take a sample, this is a rover that you could sterilize to make sure that no bacteria from Earth would contaminate, you know, this alien that you just found.
So you have amazing articles on the IEEE Spectrum blog. So much bots. So attaching little cameras to the back of dragonflies. There's so much to talk about. Another interesting piece that you recently posted was about how hacking self-driving cars could be, I don't want to threaten anybody or anything, we're not fear mongers here, but it could be as easy as making a few subtle changes to a stop sign. Tell us about this piece.
Yeah, this is some really interesting research that came from the University of Washington, and it highlights the differences between how computers understand the world and how we understand the world. And the idea is that you can fool a computer algorithm by making slight changes to an image that are otherwise invisible to a human. And the reason that this works is because machine learning and deep learning understands the world in a fundamentally different way than we do. So you can add little bits of noise to an image that doesn't change the way it appears to us, but it will completely change the way a machine learning algorithm looks at it. And if you do this to a stop sign, you can fool an algorithm into thinking it's a speed 45 sign 100% of the time, this particular algorithm. So obviously, that's a little scary. And before, people had only been able to do it digitally, but this research group showed that you can print a poster of a stop sign that looks only a little bit different than a stop sign, a real stop sign, and actually completely fool people. Or you can use stickers, and it's easier than maybe it should be.
So those stop signs we're looking at, a neural network might see that as a speed limit 45.
Yeah, in fact, the neural network that they used will see it as a speed limit 45 sign 100% of the time.
Wow. And how precise do these alterations have to be as far as like the exact, like when I look at this and I think of the story, I think of QR codes and how QR codes are like a grid of dots. And depending on where the dots are, they send an entirely different, you know, combination of letters and numbers to give you a different URL, whatever it kind of results in. How precise do you have to be with these kind of tweaks to the stop sign, for example?
You don't have to be that precise. You are helped by the fact that usually when something like an autonomous car sees a stop sign, most of the time it's only looking at an image that's a couple hundred pixels across. So it's seeing a very downsampled version, which makes it easier to fool and also means that you don't have to be that precise when you're putting the stickers on.
So you wanted to make sure that we knew this wasn't really a danger.
Well, it's a potential danger, but I want to be clear that this only worked 100% of the time on this one machine learning algorithm that was only trained on, I think, like 5,000 stop signs, which is not a lot of stop signs relative to the number of stop signs that are probably out there. But it is important to understand that this is always going to be an issue for autonomous cars that are relying on just one sensor to do anything. And autonomous cars have gotten into trouble for that before. So the important thing to do is to understand that, you know, when autonomous cars come out and there's something you can buy and use and rely on, they're going to be using all kinds of different sensors, not just cameras, in order to both see stop signs and to keep you safe in other ways.
And I have to imagine there's also kind of historical data in there as well. I mean, if they're truly connected, then they know that, you know, historically that has always been a stop sign until this one time that it happens to be identified as a 45 mile per hour.
Right. Yeah.
So that we talk a lot about how AI, all these companies should be sharing more of their machine learning information. Now, the researchers were able to do this because TensorFlow was open source. Do you think that that is a problem, or do you generally feel like all of this information should be open source?
The advantage of open sourcing information like this and the algorithms underlying experiments like these is that you can figure out where they're vulnerable. And so the researchers who were working on this stuff talked about how this is something that you could try on an actual car, and you don't need access to the algorithm even. You just need access to the inputs and the outputs. So you could show an autonomous car a whole bunch of pictures of stop signs, see which ones it recognizes as stop signs, and then build a model of what's actually going on inside the car, of what that algorithm is. And so if you're trying to keep your algorithm secret, it's not really going to do much for you. And having algorithms open such that they can be analyzed to make sure that we understand how they work and where they're good and where they're vulnerable, I think, is the way to keep people safe.
We have a question from our chat room, too. Terry wants to know, how will the systems reconcile conflicting sensor inputs?
That's a really, really good question. So many autonomous cars right now, like when they're driving and doing obstacle avoidance, right, they'll have cameras, they'll have LiDAR, they'll have radar, and each one of those sensors builds a model of the world. And that model comes with a measurement of the confidence that that system has, that it's seeing what it thinks it's seeing. And that all comes into a central computer, which looks at these different models and then combines all that information to decide what is really going on. So it's not often that you get directly conflicting information. And again, having more modalities, like more sensors giving you more kinds of data, means that the system that has to decide what you're actually seeing can make a better decision overall.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, Evan. Evan Ackerman is a contributing editor at IEEE Spectrum at spectrum.ieee.org, where he's written over 6,000 articles about robotics and emerging technology. Thanks so much for coming on, Evan.
Thank you.
This was great. Thank you.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Thank
you. Take care.
All right, feedback time. Jim from Raleigh writes, yesterday I tried to order solar eclipse viewing glasses on Amazon. That was August 7th. The eclipse is August 21st. 2 weeks. 2 weeks. Whichever glasses I ordered, including cardboard ones you could slip in an envelope with a first class stamp, if I wanted them before August 28th, I had to pay $30 for expedited shipping. I was just doing a quick search on Amazon and trying to narrow it to Prime. I don't know if Jim is a Prime subscriber. It took me a while actually, because everything that comes back are like packs of five and actually Burke, by the way, is saying 7-Eleven is one place to go. I don't know that for sure, but he says you can find them at 7-Eleven. But if you go on to Amazon, you do a search for Celestron ISO certified, eclipse viewers. There's like a two-pack, and they're selling it for $13.70, and it is Prime, as far as I know. Well, it listed it was Prime, and it says, yes, you can get two-day shipping on this in Prime. In stock August 17th. So I don't know if that's going to make it in time. Yeah, it might be kind of a challenge. 7-Eleven, says Burke? I don't know.
Can you make your own, Brian, Burke, anyone?
Can.
Yeah, Burke says,
if you like your eyeballs.
Yeah, Burke says, you can. You just better be sure you're doing it right. Otherwise, goodbye eyeballs. That's probably true.
Your dog needs food, love, squeaky toys, and apparently audiobooks. Jason will explain. But first, let's take a minute to thank Rocket Mortgage, the sponsor of this episode. The mortgage experience wasn't keeping up with the times. It was dated. And it needed a client-focused technological revolution. And that is why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. Rocket Mortgage gives you the confidence you need when it comes to buying a home or refinancing the home that you already lived in. It's simple, allowing you to focus, understand all the details. And then you can be fully confident that you're getting the right mortgage for you. It's also convenient. Their trusted partners allow you to share your financial information with Rocket Mortgage at the touch of a button. One click and you've shared your stuff, and then they can figure out what mortgage is right for you. It's very powerful. So whether you're looking to buy your first home or your 10th home, Rocket Mortgage is able to perform thousands of calculations in seconds. Based on your income, your assets, and your credit, Rocket Mortgage can analyze all of your home loan options for which you qualify and find the one that's right for you. And if you're not thinking about buying a house right now, maybe you live with someone who doesn't want to buy a house, but you do, you can get approved before. It's always good to be approved. Then the first house that you fall in love with, you can say, look, I'm already approved here. I can afford this loan. So do it now, even if you're not thinking of getting a house right now. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. To get started right now, go to rocketmortgage.com/TNT. That's rocketmortgage.com/TNT. Don't forget the TNT. That way they know that we sent you to them. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. And we thank Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans for their support. TNT's fan of the day is Sean Davis on Twitter, who sent us this picture saying, yesterday, Ron Richards said he wanted to see transparent aluminum, albeit expensive. Is it fake?
Yeah, he included a link. It's that second. So this is his, that was his setup, but he sent this link about just basically about this transparent aluminum ceramic alloy called aluminum oxynitrate. Oxynitrate, first observed at Oxford University. It has the properties of aluminum, but transparent, and that's kind of what you're seeing there. So I don't know if it's fake. That seems to show that it's not. I don't know if we're ever going to see it in our phones, but there you go.
I want to see it in my phones.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Like a transparent but durable back.
I just want more transparency. Yeah, just in general.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I can get behind that.
We want you to be transparent. Show us how you watch or listen to TNT. Record a video. We love videos. We want to see you watching us or take a picture. That sounds so creepy, but it's true. You can also take a picture of yourself or your setup, post it on Instagram, Google Plus, Twitter, or Facebook. Use the hashtag #HowIWatchTNT and we will find it.
All right. So if you've got dogs and you've been wondering how you can calm them down just a little bit, did you ever consider playing an audiobook for them? Neither did I, but Audible, which, by the way, is a sponsor here on Twit. Not today's episode, but definitely on the network. Audible's now hosting Cesar Millan, I just know him as the dog whisperer. That's probably what many people know him as anyways. He has a curated list of audiobooks that he says, are good at helping reduce the stress of your dog. The service is called appropriately Audible for Dogs. They actually found that 75% of owners who played these audiobooks for their dogs saw them as more relaxed and calmer within the month.
I have a very not calm dog, okay, who anyone who's been near my house knows.
I've never met your dog because your dog's always upstairs.
Yes, he's afraid of people. And we tried. Some people said, well, you have to have him around people. We tried. Believe me, we tried. But I'm going to try this with, our house has Amazon Echoes everywhere. So I'm going to, there he is. Isn't he sweet?
Aww.
Just enjoying the summer breeze.
Yeah.
I mean, if he could figure out how to play them himself, that would be amazing.
Like two barks.
That's exactly what I hope you actually turned on someone's Amazon Echo by saying
if that turned on your Echo, please let us know. Titles include Trevor Noah's Born a Crime, A Dog's Purpose, of course, Journey to the Center of the Earth, although the dog dies many spoiler
Shh.
The dog dies in Dog's Purpose, so maybe you don't want to play that for your dog, but, a lot of people actually do. They leave on their TV or they put on talk radio or whatever while they're not around, and they do that for a reason, to calm down their dog. Do I need to get a dog? Is this reason to get a dog?
You for sure need to get a dog. I found you a rescue, but he lived in Chicago, so,
Keep working on that.
Yeah, I will. But yeah, so this is the audiobook for dogs is free.
Oh, okay. So it's part of if you're an Audible subscriber.
I think you can just, it's just free.
Oh, okay.
It's not like the get one free audiobook offer that we offer.
Got it. I see. Yeah, the audiobook for dogs, that is a free download. And then there are the picks.
Dog-related books. Yes.
Isn't it? I mean, I wonder if any book works.
Oh, thank you. There's Tibbs.
Oh.
He's smart.
Very smart. You can tell because of those glasses. Mm-hmm. TNT records live every Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern, 2300 UTC at twit.tv/live. You can be a part of the show by emailing us at tnt@twit.tv. Leave us a short voicemail at 260-TNT-SHOW and find us on Twitter at Tech News Today TV.
And you can find all the ways to subscribe to our show at twit.tv/TNT. And if you want to tweet at me about how I raised my dog wrong, please do. I'm at Megan Maroney. I tried for months. I tried to socialize him. I tried.
And if you want to find me a dog, I'm at Jason Howell on Twitter. Thanks to our technical director, Brian Burnett, who just turned on the lights. I have to imagine it's for a reason. There we go. We got the thumbs up. Thanks to Burke for helping out here in the studio. Nice. We got a thumbs up from him. Thanks to Kevin for editing the show. The door's going to open. No, that didn't work. Okay, well, whatever. I'm sure he thumbs up from his desk. And thanks to you for talking tech with us today. We'll see you all tomorrow. Bye, everybody.